Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a well-known story, so well-known that Good Samaritan has become a term in our culture to describe a person who helps a stranger in need. We know the story well, and sometimes it's hard for us to hear it. We just skip forward to the ending, go and do likewise. And we hear the moral of this story is be helpful to people in need, which is one lesson or one layer of meaning in the story. The lawyer, I always think the self-important young man who is questioning Jesus, is trying to get clear boundaries on this life of faith. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life for me? Okay, so if I need to love my neighbor, just who does that mean? Who all is included in that neighbor word? And Jesus tells a story, which offers so much more than a simple answer would. Stories draw us in and speak to us on a different level than simple instructions or explanations. Stories offer a setting for our imagination and characters whose actions and motives we can explore. Stories invite us into a different world and may raise as many questions as answers. One way to explore a story such as this is to imagine ourselves in the story. Who are you when you read the story? What difference does it make who we identify with as we read? And what does it tell us about ourselves? One place that we may find ourselves in this parable is in the priest or Levite. These are the roles that convict us, that show us where we too often dwell. It should be easy for us to identify with these folks. We who drive or walk past unhoused people in our city all the time. We who fail to respond to suffering in the news or all around us. We have good reasons, just as the priest and the Levite have good reasons. The priest and the Levite have important work and duties to do, just as we do. For them, stopping to help this man if he has died would make them ritually unclean and unable to fulfill their duties. They have limited time and resources, just as we do. And really, no one can be responsible for everything. This is a dangerous road. Bandits roam here all the time. He should have been prepared. I don't know about you, but every time I read this story, it makes me squirm a little bit. Because isn't it true that while we really can't do everything or help everyone, so often we don't help where we can because we are so caught up in our own stuff? When we identify with the roles of the priest and the Levite in this parable, it invites us not to feel guilty and terrible for all that we can't do, but to look closely at where our reasons have become excuses. Another way to read this story is to identify with the Samaritan, whose behavior Jesus invites us to imitate. The Samaritan sees an injured stranger on the road. Surely he must consider the cost and risk to himself in stopping to assist, and yet he is moved by pity. There's a Greek word here that I think is a lot of fun. Splanknizomai is a verb. It is in Greek. Splanknizomai, and it means to feel compassion. It comes from the root word splankna, which is your gut physically. So to be moved by compassion is literally to be moved in your gut, in your body. We use similar images when we say that we are moved by someone's suffering, or when we have a gut feeling for what we need to do. I saw this happen yesterday when I was having coffee with my friend Nicole, and I was telling her about the asylum seekers we work with. I was telling her that when they arrive, ICE takes everything from them, clothes, shoes, personal items, rosaries, medications. She kind of rocked back in her seat, and tears filled her eyes as she put herself in the place of those people, that place of deep vulnerability and fear. And she was literally moved by compassion. The Samaritan has this deep, visceral reaction to this wounded man, and he stops and cares for him. He carries him to an inn. He pays an amount equal to 2 days' wages for his care. He is a neighbor, a little Christ to the wounded man. And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." And we do that, don't we, friends? I know that we do sometimes act as that good Samaritan. We too are little Christs to the people in our lives in so many ways, to those people whose suffering moves us into action. We all live in that pull between the Levite and the Samaritan. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And Jesus is clear that following him means moving out of that lane where we are comfortable and secure to do something. We are reminded that in God's reckoning, all are beloved, all are welcome, all are neighbors. There's another way to read this parable, which showed up in my reading over and over this week. And I think perhaps it is our current climate of dis-ease that brought this reading into focus this week. What if we find ourselves in the story as the one beaten, robbed, and left for dead? What if we identify most with the one who has lost everything, who is alone, who has nowhere to turn and an uncertain future? First and foremost, parables are stories which reveal God's goodness and mercy. The Sundays and Seasons commentary this week says, "Remember, this must be a parable about how God is the good neighbor first, and how we emulate that second." It is easy to miss the shocking nature of this parable if we start to think that this story only teaches us to imitate the Good Samaritan. The parable says so much more about God, our relationship to God, and the lengths to which God will go to reach out to us. Through the image of the Samaritan, Jesus lifts up a surprising rescuer as an image of the God who relentlessly cares for those in need. Could it be that we are meant to identify not with the Samaritan or even the lawyer to whom Jesus speaks in the parable, but rather with the man who is hopeless and left for dead? Could it be that Christ is the good Samaritan who embraces us with the tender compassion of God? All of a sudden, this parable is turned on its head. Jesus is not just giving us a comfortable morality tale, reminding us to be nice, helpful, generous people. Instead, Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. God's grace comes to us through the cross. God's grace comes to us even, especially when we are at our worst, when we struggle in the depths and cry out for help. Even when we cannot or will not cry out, mercy and grace come into our lives through Jesus. So whether you are on the road or in the ditch, Jesus is even now coming for you. That is indeed the news we need to hear again and again. When we are doing our best to live out God's love in the world, Jesus is with us, filling us with compassion and courage to love. When we are distracted or afraid to reach out, crossing by on the other side, Jesus is with us, loving us, and continuing to work transformation in our hearts. And when we are stuck in a ditch, injured and afraid, Jesus is there with us, offering healing grace and peace that passes understanding. The reason we can and should and do love and help our neighbors near and far is that Jesus first loves and helps us. In our time of deepest need, Jesus is with us to pick us up and carry us for as long as we need. Thanks be to God. Amen.